Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you're well this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, everything is fine. Weather's getting a little bit cooler. And so, alhamdulillah, it's a high 30s, but it's not going to reach the 40s today, inshallah. So, Allah knows best.
Inshallah. So you just mentioned, I was speaking to you now before we came on air, and you said something about X. You don't get X in Pakistan. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's the government has banned it. People are trying to get it okay. TikTok was banned, and this was banned. So we'll see what happens. Allah knows best.
Okay. And then, so you can't get it at all. No Pakistani can get access to X unless they somehow chop out the system.
Well yeah, there's these VPNs or something. There's a way you can do it. Okay, but I'm just not involved in that. I'm not going to take the extra step to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not important. It's not important for me.
Yeah.
If it was important for me, then yeah, I would do that. But you know, as a Muslim, no. What do I gain out of that?
Exactly. All right.
Yeah. So that's the thing.
Yeah. It's totally unnecessary. Anyway, firstly, before we go to what you want to speak about, what's happening in Pakistan with the whole India situation after those Indians were attacked and all the rest? Perhaps you can give us your side of the story.
Well, there's not too much talk in the street because this is always going on. Ever since I've been here, there's always talk that there might be a war and this and that.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned to you last week, that the reason why the number one part of the budget is defense here in Pakistan is because the 1 billion people that are next door. So, yeah, it's something that is always in the back of people's mind, I guess, or the longer that you're here, it's not in your mind at all. All right, it's just a lot of, you know, a lot of noise. They say drum beating, in Africa, allegedly, before tribes would fight each other, they would beat drums or something like that. But there's a lot of talk like this, and most of it is just tuned out. Everybody's here that I know, is only concerned about their job and, you know, making ends meet and inflation and crime and things like that. They're not really concerned about that.
Yeah, but it's so strange because sometimes we're so like in our own cocoons, in our own circles, and our own activities that we sometimes in our area, within our own organizations, within our own communities, we are oblivious of so many things. And then when you speak to someone else someone else knows stuff about our communities, then they say, "But didn't this happen?" And you like shocked. So many times I asked my sister who's in Canada, I said, "But we read this on the news, how's everything?" She said, "But I don't know much about this." Yeah. So.
Yeah, I had an aunt when I was in New York. We're from New York, my family, and people from Africa or other places will come and visit. And they would like ask my aunt, "Have you ever been to the Empire State Building?" At that time, there was no World Trade Center. So the biggest building in the world, I think it was the Empire State Building. And my aunt would have just answered, no, I'm not a tourist. I live here. No, I've never been there. Okay? But people would come to my neighborhood and they would ask, you know, my mother, how can you live here? There's so much crime and there's so many, you know, bad people. And my mother would say, "What are you talking about? These are the people I went to school with." The people that will rob you are the people that were in my class. So I'm not afraid of them. So that's how it is in Pakistan. You know, they always talk India gonna do this and India's not gonna do that, and as soon as Pakistan does something, then India says we will not play Pakistan in cricket in the next tournament, and you know, it's been going on for the 30 years that I've been here. So really it's it's nothing. Neither one of them want war. Neither one of them want war. Both countries could destroy each other with the nuclear weapons if they want. So it's just a lot of talk, basically.
Okay. And I saw Mulana AS also had taken out a few statements with regards to this year with Pakistan. And I saw one just last week, I think it was Friday or something. But anyway, let's go towards this year. The chief rabbi, he calls black people monkeys. So Rabbi Yitzhak Yosef, the rogue Israeli scholar, and he used the term Kushi for African Americans in his weekly sermon. So Kushi is, he made the statement, it was last month, but it's never ever too old to deal with, because these people always accuse us. And once again, we see the double standards. And we've seen also, I'm sure you've seen, I've posted about, I was referring to modern day history, that there hasn't been a black pope. And even when they say that I saw you sent me that message, they say there was a possibility. So what does a possibility mean? Also, above that, last week, I'll just say this, then Mufti Saab, you can take over. Last week I read, when this whole Pope Francis thing had occurred. So they said they discovered a book which was 900 years old. But many people said this book, which they discovered 900 years ago, it's also the statements in there. You can find it in fictional books as well. And many people have put it in their novels, statements like this. So one of the statements that is quite laughable is that they predicted Pope Francis would be the Pope in this particular era back then, 900 years ago, right? And they predicted that he'll be the Pope. And what we say is Qiyamah, they say Day of Judgment will occur 2027. So we know there's a whole long process still to come. Yes, it is signs of Qiyamah and all of the rest. But in terms of the major signs, 2027 is totally out of the picture for now. The Dajjal is to come. So many issues still has to come. But they predicted it there. And then I found a statement, and it is included in their book, in their Bible, Matthew's. I can't remember the chapter name and all of that, but it's easy to get. Where nobody knows about the Day of Judgment, not even the angels. And they include their other kufr statements, saying the son of our father and all of this. But just that part, if you take it out. And this was a response not given by a Muslim scholar or Muslim. This was one of their, they call them the Thomas. So one of them responded to this and said, but this year is lies. How can such a prophecy be made? And then there was also doubts about this book. Was it really 900 years ago? And how come all of a sudden, as Pope Francis dies now, this book comes out and it's all out in the media and the rest? So these are questions. And did they just make it and turn it into some book? And how did they discover this? Your Quran Sharif has been, since it's been revealed at the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's coming. And when he was 40 years old, he received wahi, revelation. But it's been preserved with those who memorized it. So it's not something that we can say it's a claim that it's 430 years old. It's not just a claim. There are people in every era who memorized it, preserved it, and this is the method Allah has chosen for its protection. So all of this, Ya Mufti Saab, you can just address it. First, let's start off with this rabbi calling blacks monkeys. In Islam, where is there any Muslim who can even think of saying stuff? Even if they do, we as Muslims will attack that person because it's going against Islam.
Yeah, but it's not against Judaism. Remember, the Judaism that you have now, the religion of the Jews that you have now, their sources. Like we have four sources, right? Okay, Quran, Hadith, Ijma, and Qiyas.
Right.
Well, they have the Torah, but what is more important to them than the Torah is the Talmud. Okay. Now the Talmud was not revealed to Musa, and nor was it revealed to any other prophet. It was revealed to those. Well, it wasn't revealed to them. It was written by the 70 people that went with Musa, okay, to see Allah or to speak to Allah, okay. And Allah killed them, and then Musa made dua for them, and Allah brought them back to life. Mm. Okay, now these were the original scholars for dollars, okay. And so they wrote things that was pretty much against the Torah.
Okay.
They went to the people, to the Jews at that time, after Musa had died, alayhi salam, and said, we got something better than what Musa got. Okay, so they eliminated all of the, not all of the things, but many of the things that Musa was has received. Okay, so now, they believe that they are the chosen people, and they've continued to be the chosen people, and that every non-Jew has been was born into the world to serve them. They are above all other humans, and all humans that are non-Jews are here to serve them, according to the Talmud. So the being monkeys and things like that, it's not just blacks that are considered monkeys. All non-Jews are subhuman to the Jews. All right. so this is nothing special. This is nothing special. All right. They have no love for Arabs. Okay. Meir Kahana, he was a rabbi in America, in New York. And alhamdulillah, he was killed by a Muslim. Alhamdulillah. His expression was, the only good Arab is a dead Arab. Okay, so it wasn't just black people. It's not just black people. It's all. They don't love Christians. They don't love Catholics either. All right. So there you are. They're the most racist people in the world. All right. Because even the Christian understands them to be God's chosen people. And we believe that also. All right. We believe that Allah chose them. Okay. But they disobeyed, and Allah took away that, you know, the benefit that he gave them. But still, yes, no doubt. Ibrahim, alayhi salam, two sons, and his son gave, you know, birth to tribes, to two different tribes, you know, Arabs and the Jews. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. But they kept their, you know, their, what do you call it, conceit.
Yeah.
Conceit. Whereas the Muslims, you know, were taught to be humble, because of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't, you know, brag about me like the Christians have bragged about Isa alayhi salam, or, you know, anything like that. I'm just a servant of Allah. And so how can we be better than him? Okay, so he showed us the way. But since they've changed their books, we don't know what, you know, the Jews have been told by Musa alayhi salam. Okay, I find it strange that they admit that they know Allah, they knew Allah's name, but they lost it. Okay, that's according to the Jews, right? According to their rabbis, they said they knew the actual name. Well, we know it's Allah, they said they've lost it. So that means they're responsible that no one in the world knows Allah's name. Okay, but they don't take account for that. But again, being Muslims being called monkeys, I mean, blacks being called monkeys, that's no big deal, all right, with them. And now, did you notice in that article, there are two head rabbis in Israel? Not one. They're just like, you know, Sunni or Shia. They're just like Catholic and Protestant, okay? They got two different ones. Now, this one was the one who's who's really a Jew, because he represents those from North Africa and what have you. Whereas the other rabbi, he's the leader of those who are from Europe, who are not really Jews. They're not the children of Yaqub, those Jews that come from Europe. You see? So they got a big problem. Okay, they still have a big problem, but they don't talk about that. Mm. They don't allow DNA to be done in Israel, so you can really see who is a Jew. And they have the constant argument, who is a Jew?
Mm.
All right? Okay. Generally, they say, if your mother was a Jew, that means you're Jewish.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm.
But they argue about that. And so the people who are on one side, who are really the children of Yaqub, arguing with those who have come from Europe, who are not really Jews. They accepted Judaism, later on.
Hmm.
And both those are the people that are really running Israel, like Benjamin. Okay, those type, all those guys. Almost every prime minister has not been really a child of Yaqub Alayhis Salaam. Almost all of them have been European Jews.
Hmm. And I've seen in this particular article later, it says about he delivered, he's a controversial speaker. So this part, this statement here, we'll say, okay, we'll give you some points for the statement. He said in his statement that secular women behave like animals because they dress immodestly. So this he said last year, and they took him to court for that. And every, if you see, I think we may have spoken it previously, but there is this sect of Judaism. It's called the Burqa sect. And they also, in America, they face much backlash, because they are considered to be like the Orthodox Jews. And they, why they face backlash is because if you see them, you think they're Muslim if you see from far. They covered head to toe. I don't know if Mufti Saab ever saw them while he was in America, but head to toe, burqa, everything. That's why they call the burqa sect. Their children, they go to another extreme. 5, 6 years of age, also their faces are not shown to nobody. And they walk. Now, the Americans don't like them because they are now they serve as a threat to their immorality on that basis and their immodesty. And I read this somewhere also, Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, to conquer a nation, first you must throw at them. And we spoke a bit on this here, but I found a nice statement of Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Alayhi, where he says that you have to throw at them all of this nudity and immodesty. Then it's easy to conquer them. And I don't know if you recall, Mufti Saab, last week, we did speak about this, that going to to Masjid al-Aqsa and how they try to turn on your desires by women approaching you and all the rest. So it's, yes, Mufti.
These Orthodox Jews, I never saw.
Okay.
I lived 7 blocks from the worldwide, I can't remember the name, of Orthodox Jews, okay? New York City is the largest Jewish city in the world, right? There's about 1 million Jews in New York City. There was Orthodox Jews, and they wouldn't work on Saturday, okay? The one time I was going to work on a Saturday, and a Jewish kid, was in the alleyway of his house, and he asked me to come over. Could I plug in his air conditioner? I said, "What is the problem?" He said, "Today is Shabbos. Today is Sabbath. Okay, I can't do any work."
Hmm.
So plugging in the air conditioner, okay, was work. So I live near people like that.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
They would. So their Sabbath would begin Maghrib on Friday, right? And it would end on Maghrib on Saturday, right?
Mm.
So Friday in the afternoon, they would put the television on whatever channel, but there was no remote. Well, even then, if they had remote, they couldn't use a remote. They had to put the channel on that channel that they wanted to watch a certain program on a Saturday. Okay? And just leave it on that channel. And then they would be able and leave the television on. So, because if it was off and they turned it on, that would be considered work and they'd be violating the Sabbath. That's how particular they were. When the woman got married, she would have to cut all her hair off.
Yes, I heard about this.
Okay. Okay, and they would wear a wig until it grew back. Okay. All right, so yeah, I saw the guys with the wool hats in the summertime, and black coats, okay, and these strings around their waist. What is that rope that they have around their waist? Okay, on the side. They said, oh, that's if the world ends, they'll be pulled up to Jannah, you know, by that string. That's what they believed.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, all these strange things. So those Orthodox I saw, but I never saw any woman, Jewish woman, you know, completely covered.
Yeah.
No. Yes, they did dress modestly. Okay, like I said, they cut off their hair and they would wear wigs, so their head was covered. They wore scarves. Okay, but a bayo or something like that. No, but yes, modest dress. Modest dress. Yes.
Okay. Mufti Saab, we'll meet with you tomorrow again. Yes, I just wanted to say before I leave you that I also read about these wigs that they wear, and I was trying to do some research on it a few months ago, and I found that they actually wear these wigs because the reason for that is strange men are not supposed to look at their hair. So to overcome this, they then take off the hair and they put on a wig, so that they say, okay, it's not my original hair. It's fake hair. So you're not looking at my original hair. And this particularly they have to do for after they get married. So you can see how they just try to maneuver around things and spin things around to suit their desires, basically. So, and the challenge is on. The challenge is on. Allah gives it to them in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. O Jews, ya ayyuhalladhina hadu, in za'amtum annakum awliya'u lillahi min dunin nas. If you truly believe that you are the friends of Allah, then fatamannaw al-maut, wish for death. If you are truthful, but Allah says they will never wish for it because of all this blood and all this that they've sent. What is bima qaddamat aydihim? This is why they will never wish for it. And literally, when you speak to these Jews, they're very scared of death. And alhamdulillah, you can just see the Quran Sharif. It's speaking about current affairs and current Jews. Anyway, Mufti, appreciate.
Yeah, they don't believe in Jannah or Jahannam.
Exactly.
So yeah, they're afraid to die. There's nothing for them to look forward to after death. Yes. So, and obviously they're not afraid of being punished after death because they don't believe in hellfire. Yes, sir. So they're a very bad group of people. But what the rabbis said are things that are in their books. If you go to the Jewish encyclopedia and things like that, you'll probably read the same thing. He didn't make up anything. He didn't take anything out of his pocket. Okay, and present it. It's controversial because he let it out and it was either recorded or written down and it made the newspaper. That's the only thing about it.
Okay,
but what is in their heart is there. And it's, you know, something that wasn't invented in the last 20 years. It's been that way for, you know, thousands of years. Okay, but it just got out. Inshallah.
Okay, jazakallah.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.